I wanted to do this special edition of the Indie Film Hustle podcast because today I found out that the legendary Robert Forster, the actor who played in Quentin Tarantino's Jackie Brown, among 200 other parts over the course of his career, has passed away. And Robert has a very special place in my heart because of a couple reasons. One, Robert was generous enough with his time to come on a short film I did back in 2010 called Red Princess Blues, where I cast him as the storyteller of that short. And I have to tell you, it was one of the most amazing experiences. Working with an actor of his caliber was just humbling. And I was godsmacked, seriously, by his professionalism, by what he brought to the project. And he was just so kind, gentle, and professional. I can't even tell you. He was one of the sweetest men I've ever met in my entire life. So that was number one. Number two was, Robert was the first guest I ever had on the Indie Film Hustle podcast. So I wanted to re-release that first episode to pay homage to such an amazing actor, filmmaker, and human being that I got to work with all those years ago. So Robert, you will be missed. And if you want to see Robert's, I think, last performance or close to his last performance, he is in the new film on Netflix called El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie, where he reprises his role as the disappearer. And again, Robert, you will be missed. So enjoy this interview with Robert. It really, really touched my heart that he even took the time to sit down and talk to my crew and I about the business. And he does drop some major knowledge bombs. So please enjoy this interview with the legendary Robert Forster. Welcome to the Indie Film Hustle podcast, episode number one. Do or do not. There is no try. Yoda, Jedi Master.
Broadcasting from the back alley in Hollywood, it's the Indie Film Hustle podcast, where we show you how to survive and thrive as an indie filmmaker in the jungles of the film biz. And here's your host, Alex Ferrari.
Welcome, welcome everyone to the second episode of the Indie Film Hustle podcast. My name is Alex Ferrari and I'll be your host. Today I'm really excited about the show, guys. We have Oscar nominee and legendary actor Robert Forster on the show today. You might know him from Quentin Tarantino's Jackie Brown, where he won, where he got the Oscar nomination. And more recently, he's done films like The Descendants, Olympus Has Fallen, Mulholland Drive, and then Delta Force back in the day, and the classic Disney's Black Hole, which I saw when I was growing up as a kid. It was a real thrill and privilege to work with him on one of my films, Red Princess Blues, where he came in to do some VO for me. He was amazing. So I decided to sit down with him and do a real quick interview after our session. And he threw a lot of gems out there for actors, for directors, and he even disclosed his favorite direction that Quentin Tarantino gave him while shooting Jackie Brown, which was wonderful. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the interview.
So over the years, when you look at projects, what attracts you to the films?
You know, basically, it's a job in hand. Somebody hands you something and says, this needs to be done. Once you realize that you can deliver the goods, you say yes, and then you go in there and you get a chance to hit the ball over the fence if possible, and sometimes you do, and this is a great day. That's what actors' lives are composed of, a string of interesting days where you get a chance to be creative.
So out of all the projects you've done, out of all the films you've been, what's been the most memorable or rewarding for you?
Boy, that's a hard one because they're all pretty good. Like I say, when I was young, my mother sent me a book called White Hyacinths. At the beginning of the book, it said, if I had but two loaves of bread, I would sell one of them to buy white hyacinths to feed my soul. Now, from that, I understood that life had a spiritual component and that you had to feed it. The end of the book, which is a series of essays about work and delivering your best and other such, you know, lofty things. At the end of the book, the very last thing it said was, and the reward which life holds out for work is not ease or rest or immunity from work, but increased capacity, greater difficulty, and more work And I thought, oh God, I hope not. I was a pretty lazy guy when I was young, and was hoping that I could get through, you know, easy in life. And then I became an actor, and I realized how important a day's work is to an actor. So when you ask me what was most memorable, the last thing I did was pretty memorable, which is this, you know, I spent some hours. I looked at it last night. I read it a couple of days ago. I spent an hour here today just looking it over and reading it and asking myself, now, what can you get out of this that was meant? And bring your audience into a little life, a little story, bring them to somewhere else. And then you go in there and, like right now, and you take a few shots at it, and you know, it's not magic. You put down what the guy said, and it generally works.
What advice would you offer aspiring actors?
Never forget that there are this many of us and this many jobs. It's not a mystery. Very, very hard to get work. But when you do get work and you do have a creative job to put your energies to, it's one of the great things. And when you don't have that in the day, you put your best energy to whatever else is in the day, because it's a day of infinite number of possibilities of doing good or less good if you choose to. But when you do your best, I remind actors, you get that reward they always tell you you're going to get, the reward of self-respect, the reward of satisfaction. And if you were looking for what constitutes the good life, self-respect and satisfaction are big components in that. So whether or not you're dealing with something that's creative, or whether you make something creative out of going to get the groceries, you are in charge. And that's what I remind actors, whether or not you have something to work on, you got a whole days full of things to make better.
What of all the directors you've worked with, and you worked with some incredible ones, what do you like in a good director? What do you want in a good director as an actor?
A guy who knows a good take when he sees one and can say, yep, that's good. Now, you know, once you know somebody recognizes a good one, you know you're not dealing with somebody who is just shooting it and shooting it and shooting it and shooting it just to see what somebody else will tell him is any good. That's what it's like being a cook. You want the cook to have a good taster, to know what tastes good. He doesn't have to ask somebody else. Doesn't have to ask the customer or the waiter, does it taste any good? No, the chef is supposed to know whether it tastes any good. That's what you're hoping for in a director, somebody who can recognize a good take and say, good one, let's move on, especially if you don't have much time, which young directors rarely do. Older directors with lots of money can take it, 80 times if they want to. But young guys got to be able to find a good one and move on.
What advice would you give to a young director?
Well, know the thing as well as some of your actors are going to know it, because the actor's going to come in knowing his material pretty well. I never met an actor who didn't work real hard at showing up prepared. Some do, I imagine, but not many. And so the actor will come in with a deep, reasonably deep understanding of what he's doing. Some actors, I suppose. And you want to know the material as well as they do, so that you can, be helpful to them. Or at the same, and the other extreme is what John Huston said, which is casting is 90%. Once you cast the right person, all you got to do is step aside, let them figure it out. Because, you know, the actor is always trying to make something real out of what's going on, and hopefully getting the best they can out of the material. So you got a willing partner in the actor, and when they're good, you give them a little space. And if they're not, you shape them up a little bit.
Do you have any interesting memories of working with any of the directors over the years in the films? Any anecdotes or stories?
Well, refine it a little bit.
The black hole.
I'm not sure I have any real good insights, but that was the longest steady job I ever had. 6 months exactly to the day, 26 weeks from 7 in the morning till 7 at night. We were in outer space. That would make it a Disney studio in a, on a sound stage. So the only steady job I ever had in my life.
And you still get talked about? Do people still talk about that movie?
Well, sure. Occasionally, you know, it was a remake of a favorite movie of mine. It was actually a Jules Verne movie called 20,000 Leagues mm-hmm. Under the Sea, but they put it out in space. So, and they called it The Black Hole. And I think they're remaking it. Or yeah. I hear they're remaking
After
it.
After Tron, they're trying to go back yeah. to the archive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I had the great pleasure of job shadowing Quentin Tarantino on the set of Inglourious Basterds to yes. learn from him as an actor.
Yeah.
What was your experience like working with him on Jackie Brown?
Rarely do writers write such good dialogue. So, you know, learning dialogue, I take the material and then I put close the book and then I try to remember and visualize and internalize the speech. And then I try to say it. As though I might be saying it to somebody, and just all private and quiet when you're all alone doing your work. And then I would go back to the script to find out how he actually wrote it. And there were so many times when I might just try to voice a thought, because don't forget, lines got to come out of your mouth the way thoughts come out of your mouth. Can't be, I remember the line and this is how I want to say it. It's got to be a thought if you can make it that way. And he can really articulate a thought on paper the way you might actually say it. And, you know, with little shorthand word couplings. And the guy's very, very, very good. So that's one of the great things about Quentin. And also he was, you know, helpful and encouraging. And maybe his very best direction that I ever heard him give. And I heard him give it a number of times to a number of people, including me. And he said occasionally to an actor, just make me believe it. Well, just remember, that's what the actor's got to do, make you believe it. So he can't be reciting words. He's got to be making you, the other actor, and incidentally, the camera and the audience that may be watching, believe what's going on. If you can make them believe it, you can hold them. That's what's so good about documentary and what appealed to me about making my work as believable as I could so that it would be what documentary was. And that is hold them, hold their attention because they believed it. If you watch, you know, a documentary where you think you're being led into a world where they don't realize you're right there. Ah, that can hold you. And I've seen some great documentaries. That's one of the things I always hope for in myself, and that, as I say, Quentin asked actors to remember. Just make me believe it.
Looking back over your career, what do you have any regrets, and do you have anything that you're really most proud of or anything that you regret over your long career?
You know, all regrets, I have very few of those. You make your choices. You do what you do. You know, I would have done things differently if I had foresight. But no, you take your steps and you go along with them. You never know what would have been if you'd made the other choice. So there's no making regrets. You just deal as well as you can with what you've got facing you.
My final question then sounds, you know, off of that. Do you have a philosophy on life? And if so, what is it?
You know, I was born on the 13th of July, which was yesterday. I knew as a young kid that 13 was a great number. When I was 8 or 9, some kid said to me, 13 is a bad number. I thought they were full of baloney. He said, well, yeah, well, take a look the next time you're on an elevator and see if it has a 13th floor. And sure enough, it did not. And from that, I knew that there were people who believed in things that were not true. 13 is a perfectly good number, and they believed and made decisions on a mistaken belief. That, of course, we know that as superstition. There are so many things that people believe that are not true. And so from a young age, I asked myself to try to fathom out what was true, because if you can make choices based on what is true, then your chances of making good choices and good decisions are improved. And so, what is my philosophy on life? see if you can't find out what is true, Bob. Starting with, of course, the big questions, which people are welcome to ask themselves at any point. Why am I alive? Where do I go when I die? Is there God? How do you be a man? What's a husband? How do you be an artist? What's a father? These are the big questions, and there are probably other ones. So in a lifetime, and we know what Socrates, I think, said, the unexamined life is not worth living. I heard that early on, and I thought that that is another true thing. So examine your life and keep wondering whether or not you've got a good line on what you're doing. And whenever you can, on a daily basis, deliver the best you can to what you're doing, because that gives you, I said it a while ago, that gives you the best shot at the best future you've got coming. It gives you self-respect, and there is satisfaction in delivering your best to whatever you're doing right now.
Hey guys, thanks again for listening to episode number 2. We'll have new episodes coming out every few weeks going forward. I hope you got a lot out of that interview. Robert was probably one of the most professional actors I've ever worked with. I mean, we were doing a short film, and he showed up like it was a Quentin Tarantino movie, you know, or a, you know, $100 million movie. He showed up with his A game, and he gave it his all. It doesn't even matter what kind of project it is. He just came in and did his thing. And I was so impressed and so humbled to work with him. So remember to head over to indiefilmhustle.com for all the latest articles and resources that we're adding there almost every day or every few days. So check that out. And also, if you want to stop paying submission fees to film festivals, head over to filmfestivaltips.com. That's filmfestivaltips.com. And I will see you guys next time. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Indie Film Hustle Podcast at indiefilmhustle.com. That's IndieFilmHustle.com.